Wet Electricity, Plymouth, England, 1947. Electric forces weren't just important in assembling the first life, but are everywhere on our planet and in the body even today, active in the most mundane of activities. Just switching on a television or a computer, for example, means that from each glowing pixel on the screen, fresh electromagnetic waves are sent rippling outward at 670 million miles per hour. An awesome sequence of events quickly unfolds. The watcher's eyes are likely to swivel forward in a sequence of stately turns as the screen's pixel glows. Each quarter-ounce massive eyeball, tugged by six flat muscles, in a slide within the slippery fat lining the orbital cavity. The eye blinks, the widened pupils are in position, and the incoming electromagnetic waves roar in. Ripping through the thin layer of the cornea, they decelerate slightly, with their outermost edges forming a nearly flat plane as they travel inward, carrying the as-yet undetected signal from the screen deep into the waiting human. The waves continue through the liquid of the aqueous humor and onto the gaping hole of the pupil. The human may have squinted to avoid the glare, but human reflexes work at the rate of slow thousands of a second and are no match for these racing intruders. The pupil is crossed without obstruction. The stiff lens just below focuses the incoming waves even more, sending them into the inland sea of the jelly-like vitreous humor deeper down in the eye. A very few of the incoming electric waves explode against the organic molecules in their way, but most simply whirl through those soft biological barriers and continue straight down, piercing the innermost wrapping of the eyeball till they reach the endpoint of their journey, the fragile, stalk-like projection from the living brain known as the retina. And deep inside there, in the dark, barely slowed from their original 670 million miles per hour, the waves splatter into the ancient, moist blood vessels and cell membranes, and something unexpected happens. An electric current switches on. Its existence seems odd, for the inside of the body is sloshing wet. We've seen electricity in telegraphs, telephones, light bulbs, electric motors, radios, radars, and computers of every sort. But here, too? Water and electricity are not supposed to mix. James Bond, famously, could terminate villains by tossing radios, electric, into their bathtubs, wet. Yet these tiny circuits in our eye sockets duplicate the operation of the most refined electrical receivers, despite being composed not of insulated copper wire or even of cleverly modified silicon, but just of ordinary proteins, fatty cholesterol, and lots of water. Our entire body operates by electricity. Gnarled, living electrical cables extend into the depths of our brains. Intense electric and magnetic force fields stretch into our cells, flinging food or neurotransmitters across microscopic barrier membranes. Even our DNA is controlled by potent electrical forces. The result is that researchers today have created yet another new form of technology, a liquid technology, in which miniature puddles can be loaded with electrical particles that swarm into the inner recesses of our body. Anesthetics float down to electrical pumps in our nerve cells, numbing us so that surgery is endurable. Prozac latches onto electrical receiving units in our brain, keeping our sorrows in check. The electrically charged molecules that emerge from a Viagra pill operate on nerve firings elsewhere, making our pleasures rise. It's all part of the great shift in the frontiers of current science, from physics to biology, from the physical world outside to the body and thoughts within. This is so unexpected. What are live electrical circuits doing embedded in our bodies and brains that electricity's role in the body wasn't even imagined till recent times? Early Greek and Islamic investigators noticed a few electric effects, such as the way the fur and pelt stands on end when you rub it, so long as the air is dry. Anatomists of the Renaissance and later found hollow white tubes running through the body and recognized that these were nerves. But they too assumed the nerves were run by a divine power, or, in lieu of that, by miniature pulleys or perhaps hydraulic fluids, not by electric sparks. What began to change this was the inability of most scientists, however independent they imagined themselves, to ignore the fashions of the society around them. Pumps were an exciting, rapidly improving technology in 1600s England and Italy, so when William Harvey was investigating the circulation of blood, it was natural for him to think of the heart as resembling a pump. Newton's followers naturally thought of the universe as a clockwork because accurate clocks were a compelling fresh technology in the late 17th century. In the early 1800s, many people had seen demonstrations of simple batteries and wires. The 20-year-old Mary Shelley, sharing ghost stories one stormy night with friends near Geneva, had naturally thought of Dr. Frankenstein as using electricity to give his monster life. In the 1840s, telegraph lines were being built, carrying messages using fast-surging electricity. As the main Western European cities were linked one after another, it was almost impossible to believe that the long nerves that carried messages inside our bodies didn't somehow surge with electricity as well. When German researchers managed to measure it clearly in the 1850s, they found that electricity didn't travel through living nerve cells at the millions of miles per hour that it traveled in telegraph wires. Instead, something seemed different within the body, for the speed was only 100 miles per hour, just a few times faster than an arm moves in a fast jab.